And here we are. You are listening to the Vadi McKechnie podcast. I am Vadi McKechnie, and welcome to episode number 142. This episode is called End of Year Review, and that is exactly what I want to dive into in this week's episode. I want to take you through some questions that I have been taking my clients through these last few weeks as we flow towards the end of the year. Now, as many of you know, I am based here in Australia, so the end of year for me is also the beginning of summer, although someone could perhaps give Melbourne a little memo that it is, in fact, summer, as I sit here with a grandma cardigan on and a heater on in this little podcast booth. I did make an agreement with myself that I was going to stop complaining about the weather and that the weather is neutral and the weather just is. But seriously, Melbourne, can we get with the program here? I did mention this in an audio note to one of my forever besties back in Scotland at the start of the week, to which she very quickly replied that it was -8 there. And so I did not get to complain about the fact that it was 15 degrees and I had to wear a cardigan. So that's it, my weather rant over. But what's super interesting about this time of year is that here in Australia and in New Zealand, down in the Southern Hemisphere, we have our Christmas time in our summertime as well. So for many parts of the world who are in the Northern Hemisphere, there's this winter energy, this closing energy, this time of reflection that comes naturally with that season, where we kind of go inward. We spend some time in solitude, we spend some time with ourselves, and we naturally are in more of that reflective wintering type of energy. But here in Australia, it's different. It's very, there's a summer energy, there's a liveliness, there's a vibrancy to this time of year. And that can often be in stark contrast to this idea of the calendar year coming to an end. And it's always been really interesting to me to feel the difference in those energies. We can feel in that activating energy quite often in summertime. But for me, I like to just give myself some time to pause and reflect on the year that was. All too often, we can be overly eager to just get into next year, to start setting intentions, planning what we want to do, carving out some time to, you know, really set those goals and start to implement some strategies in order for us to create those things that we want to create next year. And whilst I really see the value in doing that, before we get into that planning energy of what we want to do next year, it's super important to give ourselves that time to pause, to give ourselves that time to reflect and review what has unfolded in the last 12 months. It's funny, I'll share a little story from one of my client sessions last week where we went on the call and we had not necessarily planned in advance what the session was going to be about. This is one of my long-term clients who we coach together every other week and have done for years. And so I had the plan of our end of year review session as we went in, knowing that we have one more session this week before we finish up for the Christmas break to do some of that planning for next year. But going onto the call, my client had assumed that we would be starting to talk about next year, about what was going to unfold next year, about, you know, some milestones that we wanted to hit next year. And so we started the call, and straight away she started talking about numbers and targets and revenue and profit. This is one of my business clients and also life clients as well. We do coaching on business and life and all of the things in between. And so I had to just reel her back in a little bit and take some of that enthusiasm and excitement and eagerness for next year and just suggest that we just place it on the shelf for a couple more weeks, that we were going to get back to that. And we were certainly going to set some of those intentions for next year before we wrap this year up. But first of all, I wanted to do the review of the year that was. Now, for this client, there had been a lot of business change. There had been a lot of goals set at the end of last year, but there had also been a lot of personal things, let's just call them things, that had happened for her over the last 12 months. So I knew that it was really, really important for us to look back and just uncover some of those themes of the year to unravel what had happened and to make some sense of it. And so she was very reluctant at first to do it. But being a long-term client, I could ask her to just pause and trust me on this one, and we were going to get to the planning stages. And needless to say, halfway through the session, she said, okay, I'm happy we did this. And so being able to review and reflect on the year is really helpful because it helps us to understand what happened, how we showed up, what went well, what didn't go so well, what were the themes, what were those little threads that wove seemingly unrelated circumstances together. Unless we give ourselves that opportunity to reflect, we can then gather up the little golden nuggets and little sparks of insight that are available to us. It's funny, over these last few weeks, I have been watching many of the World Cup games with my youngest son, Noah, who is a soccer nut. He plays soccer, watches soccer, loves soccer, all the things soccer. So we have been getting up to watch the 6 a.m. games here in Australia and squeezing in some of the later 9 p.m. games. Needless to say, he is rather tired by bookending his sleep with the late match and then the early match. But what has been super interesting on many levels about having this opportunity to do something with my son that is super important to him and that I actually don't know very much about and actually don't have very much personal interest in for me, but being able to sit with him, to ask him questions, to get his insights has been a really beautiful opportunity for us. Now, he turns 11 in just a couple of days' time, and I realize the time that the next World Cup rolls around, he's going to be 15 and probably not wanting to sit on the sofa with his mum watching the World Cup games. So I really took this as an opportunity to create some of those memories for me and him around something that is a real passion for him and a huge part of his little 10-year-old life at the moment. But what was really interesting was that we would watch the game, and then at the end of the game, they would have the commentators doing the post-game review. You know, so they would have ex-players or coaches or sports journalists in the studio afterwards, giving their reflections and insights on the match. And I see this end of year review in the same way. You know, when we're watching the World Cup, we'd be watching the games, and I, as a soccer novice at best, could, you know, appreciate the things that were happening and, you know, could see what was going well, what was going not so well. But to get that expert insight, to get someone's expert opinion on the themes of the match, what were those pivotal moments? what were the things that each of the teams were struggling with? How did the teams change their strategies at halftime? You know, if they were losing, what did they do in defense? What did they do in attack? What were the team's successes? What led to those successes? What were some of the failures? And did they course correct during the match? Or did those failures ultimately have them losing the game? So it's really interesting to get that expert insight in that post-game analysis, that post-game review. And I want you to consider yourself as that expert of your own life. You have the ability to look back at the year that was and identify what were your themes, what were your pivotal moments, what led to your successes, or what perhaps contributed to the things that you deem to be failures. When we look at it in this way, we can take what perhaps seemed like a year that there was nothing much to celebrate or nothing that necessarily moved the needle forward for you, and we can start to see where were those little moments, what were the important little triggers that perhaps set you off on that course. And the same is true of the positive side of things. You know, how did you show up that then led to this cascade of events that ultimately meant that you got the result that you wanted, you achieved the thing you set out to achieve. So I want you to consider yourself your own post-match expert analyst. And you get to review the year that was and identify what went well, what you want to continue with, what you want to do more of into next year, and what didn't go so well. What do you want to leave behind? What are the things that you don't want to take into next year? So as much as this is a review of the year that was, it sets this beautiful foundation for you to then start to intentionally plan out how you want to show up next year. Without doing this review, it means that we can habitually just flow into next year and continue with the same themes. Now, if things went perfectly in 2022, that might seem like a really great idea. But even if 2022 was a really great year for you, do you want next year to be exactly the same? Do you want more of the same next year as you created this year? Because if you don't pause and review, that is typically what you're going to get. You're going to continue with the same patterns, the same behaviors, feeling the same emotions, having the same beliefs, the same thoughts as you had before. So even if last year was a really great year, by stopping and pausing and reviewing and seeing what those themes were and using that as a foundation to plan your next year, you can take what was a really great year and make next year the next evolution of that, the next version of how you want to show up in the world. And it may be more of the same, but it might not be. There might be things that you want to leave behind. And that is what you can mine from doing this end of year review. I'm going to share with you some really great opening questions that will allow you to do your own end of year review. So these are really great to use as journal prompts. And also they're really great to kind of offer yourself and then take yourself outside into nature. Go walk the dog, go to the beach, go for a hike, do something outside in nature without a podcast in your ears, without music, ideally without another human being there to chat with. And just offer yourself the question and then see what comes up when you carve out that spaciousness to hear your own thoughts. Now, with these questions, I have gone through my own end of year review last weekend. And even though I offer these questions to my clients, when I take myself through this same process, I'm always surprised by what comes up. And so I've chosen in this podcast episode not to share my own personal reflections from my own end of year review. The reason for that is that, as you might know from previous episodes of the podcast this year, two of my guiding principles of this year have been simplicity and intimacy. This guiding principle of intimacy has really changed so many aspects of my life and changed how I show up or don't show up intentionally in lots of different ways. So, for example, deciding to leave social media earlier this year, that was guided by this craving of more intimacy, more depth, more privacy. And so for that reason, I really want to honor this deepening of intimacy in my own life by keeping my own review private or to only share with the loved ones that it directly affects and who I feel really drawn to share it with. And I really encourage you to do the same. We can often feel like we should share these most intimate, deep parts of ourselves with everyone, but not everyone has earned the privilege to hear those deep and intimate parts of you. So I want you to practice being discerning with who and what you share for your end of year review. This is something that's private to you. It may be something that you only write in your journal or you only think in your own mind. You might not even write them in a journal. Or it may be something that you do want to share with your partner or your children or your best friend or your parents or someone else that is significant in your life. But I just want to offer you that to allow you yourself to be discerning with who you share these responses with, if in fact you choose to share them with anyone. So the first question is, what was the best day of 2022? And what happened? I want you to spend some time thinking back on the year that was and see if you can handpick one day that you would highlight and hold up as your best day. In years gone by, it has surprised me what this best day was. It has not been an exceptionally exciting day. It's often been quite a normal, ordinary, plain day, but there has been something in it that's felt really special. So give yourself some time to think about that. What was the best day of 2022? And what happened? Why was it the best day? The second question is the flip of that. What was the most difficult day? And what happened? Why was that the most difficult day? What I find with this question is the most difficult day can start off or have many elements of the best day and then take a turn. There may be a bitter sweetness to this type of day. It might be a day that was beautiful and ordinary and simple and plain, and one that you want to live again and again and again. But maybe for reasons that are out with your control, you aren't able to have that particular experience as often as you would like. Perhaps the people that you had that experience with are no longer available to repeat that experience. Highlighting what our most difficult day was really allows us to honor those parts that feel fragile, that feel unstable, that feel cloaked in an uncertainty and an instability that feels really uncomfortable for us. So what was your best day and what was your most difficult day? They can be very similar in lots of ways, but spend some time and just differentiate what they were, what happened, and why it was your best day or why it was your most difficult day. The third question is, where did you practice courage? Think back on the year that was and see if you can identify where you had to step up and be courageous, be brave. I've heard it said before that being courageous and pretending to be courageous are actually the same thing. And I think there is a lot of value in that. We can look at other people and really respect the courage that they show and wish that we had the same ability to show that courage or to practice that courage. But the truth is, in order for us to do something with courage, we have to feel a vulnerability about it. Courage isn't something that comes when we feel super relaxed and comfortable and easy and certain about the outcome. Courage often comes when we do something or say something and we're not quite sure the response it's going to get. We're not quite sure of the result that it's going to get. We're not quite sure about what that will mean after we say the thing or do the thing. There's an inherent uncertainty around situations that require us to practice courage. So where was that for you in this last year? What were the situations or circumstances you found yourself in where you had to practice courage?